Power of perseverance. When I was praying about today, and I felt that's what I want to encourage you with, about persevering. So we're going to read from the book of Hebrews, and starting at verse 32. This whole scripture, Okay, so we're going to read on the power of perseverance from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 to 34. Just giving you a bit of a background of why the book of Hebrews was written. The book of Hebrews was written to the Jewish Christians that had come to Christ. They had once, in a sense, followed the Jewish religion, but they'd become Christians and they realized it's in Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah. They're not waiting for him to come some other time. He had come and they'd received him like we have as Lord and Savior in their lives for the forgiveness of their sins. And we're really excited, as we all were when we first became Christians. And there was something very passionate about our heart and our lives. And then they began to drift. They sort of accepted their salvation, everything's okay. But a little bit like a boat that, when it's anchored, it sort of stays in one place, but when it becomes unanchored or disconnected with the anchor, it begins to drift. And it's not like they put a motor on the back of the boat and then we're getting out of here. Not like Jonah that says, you know, I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to catch a boat in the other direction. They thought they were okay, but they were drifting. They become unanchored from Christ, and over a period of time, their passion, their heart for God began to drift. And so the writer to the Hebrews then started speaking to them and wrote the whole book to say, guys, don't stop drifting. Stop taking your faith for granted. Keep persevering with your faith. And as we go through the different chapters of Hebrews, you see this picture of the writer of Hebrews talking about, you know, the children of Israel in the Old Testament and how they at times just took things for granted or began to complain about things and so on, rather than keeping their eye on the promise, their eye and following the Lord wholeheartedly, they just began to drift. And it's very easy as Christians that we come to Christ and we realize, you know, that sense he's forgiven all of our sins. Now, I remember when I first gave my life to Jesus and just weeping, that sense of all the sin, everything had disappeared and God had accepted me and I was going to heaven, and how amazing is that? And I remember being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, and went to school the next day and told my friends I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, and began to give them a mouthful of tongues. Listen to this. This is what it sounds like, you know. And it wasn't a Christian school as such, but there's such passion and so on. But you know what can happen if we're not careful? We just then begin to drift, and we take for granted what God has done. And next thing we know, we've drifted away from that passion. In the book of Revelation, Jesus says, "But this I have against you: you've left your first love. You've began to drift." And then he says to them, "Do the things you did at first." Well, what did you do at first? Well, when we first came to Christ, what did we do? We got to every meeting we could. We read our Bible as much as we could. We prayed. We just couldn't get enough of God. And, you know, couples, when I do marriage counseling at times, when people begin to drift apart, I come back to that scripture and say, what did you do when you first started going out together? What was attractive about that person, and why did you get together? Start thinking about your first love. And then the Bible says, so do what you did at first. So start courting your wife again, or, you know, prioritizing them. Don't just drift apart from each other, but be specific about that. I used to buy my wife a gift every month, didn't I, when we went out together, celebrating that we'd been going out together for so long. But then I got married and I stopped doing that. Now I just buy her a Mars bar every now and then or something. So, but the reality of it is, what did you do? It's prioritizing. And so in the book of Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews is saying, guys, you can't drift. You've got to keep focused. about your relationship. Keep it alive every day. Don't just let it drift. And before long, when a boat drifts, next thing it's right out in the ocean. It's so far from where it was initially connected and anchored that it's like sometimes it's too far to get back. And so the writer of the Hebrews is saying to these Hebrew Christians, these Jewish Christians, don't do that. Be specific. And so he gets to this point in chapter 10, the earlier verses of chapter 10, which we would know well in verse 24. It says, let us consider how to we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And so he says, you know, don't just drift. Some people say, well, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Friends, to maintain your passion, you need to go to church. Today we've been worshiping God, and for me, I'm saying, God, thank you being amongst these incredible people that are stirring up my passion afresh and spurring me on and causing me to even love you more and fall in love with you rather than just drifting and drifting apart before, you know. So some people say, well, we don't need to go to church. Yes, we do. As some people create this habit, well, I don't. Eventually what happens, and I watch the pattern of people, well, I don't go to don't want to go to church. And sometimes we can get cheesed off. Someone can upset us, you know, pastors can upset us, people can upset us and give us an excuse of not wanting to go to church. But the reality of it is if we drift away, there's so many people in Adelaide that once went to church. When I first came to South Australia in 1999 as part of the Westside Church, and Adriano and Sue had drifted away to a different church but had just left around that time. They were going to another church by then. When I first came, I come across many people that were once part of that church that have drifted and they no longer go to church. Well, you know, I still believe in God. Well, you need to be in church. Keep that passion, because what happens is their kids and their grandkids, if they're not going to church and they're not bringing their kids into the presence of God, what's going to happen to future generations? So the Bible says, keep stirring one another up. Don't forsake the fellowship of yourself together. And, you know, that's not in my notes, but it's just an encouragement, because we can so easily drift and just let it, whatever will be. No, we've got to be passionate about our faith. So let me read this scripture. Sorry. So remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. And at other times you stood by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison, joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had a better and lasting possessions. So, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and are saved. We're not back shrinkers or shrink backers. We're people that persevere. We're people that keep going with our faith no matter what. We don't want to be drifters. We want to be people anchored to Jesus Christ in a very powerful way. And so I want to talk about the promise or the power of perseverance, in the sense of you need to persevere. When you have done the will of God, you'll receive what he has promised. Robert Schuller, who built a church in Los Angeles called the Crystal Cathedral, said, beginning is half done, perseverance finishes the job. We're not just starters, we're finishers. I don't know if anyone's been watching the Olympic Games. It's not the person that just starts off, it's the person that crosses the line that completes the job. Whether they're first, second, third, or tenth, or whatever, when they cross the line, they've fulfilled what they set out to do. In the same sense, we don't just begin, we complete what God wants us to complete. A man named Sam Keen said, I've learned one important thing, how to begin again. Every day is a new day. We keep persevering. We start afresh. They're new every morning. In fact, when we're worshiping again, that thought about the manna that came from heaven and fed the Israelites sort of came to me again and says, every day they had to go and get new, fresh manna. Yeah. They couldn't say, well, I'll use yesterday's. Well, no, yesterday's goes off. So you need fresh manna from heaven. The word manna in the Hebrew was the word manhu, which meant, what is it? The children of Israel went out and said, what is it? I don't know. So they called it, what is it? And so every day they went and got some more, what is it? And our daughter used to say about the same as yesterday. So I used to make her a cup of Milo with your sweet, because I like it sweet and that. And so I'd say, do you want a Milo today? Yeah. Do you want the same as yesterday? Yeah, same as yesterday. So in her mind, when she's just a little kid, she thought it was called the same as yesterday. And so my dad came over, and my mum and dad came over and stayed with us for a while. And they said to Caleb, what do you have to drink the same as yesterday? And they go, well, what did you have yesterday? The same as yesterday. What did you have the day before? The same as yesterday. My dad says, what's the same as yesterday? I said, it's Milo with two sugars in it. Oh, because I just wondered. She just said, I'll have the same as yesterday. She thought it was called the same as yesterday. Like the children of Israel thought it was called, what is it? So every day, let's have some more. What is it? Well, the beauty of it is when we have a relationship with God, God's mercies are new every morning. So we wake up and say, God, what is it today? I'll have some more. What is it? In fact, once they got into the promised land, it says the manna ceased. And so they couldn't even manufacture manna. Some people said it was a little bit like those honey, you know, those cornflakes with honey. It sort of tasted like that. But then never been able to make manna again because it came from heaven. And it said, the Bible says, Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds of the mouth of God. It was miraculous food. It wasn't manufactured by humanity. It was heaven food, heaven sent food that nourished them and keep them going for 40 years. Well, every day we still need nourishing heavenly food that will nourish our soul, that will nourish our spirit. So every day we need some more. What is it? God, what is it today? And I remember when I was pastoring, and every Sunday I would say, God, what is it today? Someone new is going to come. What are you going to do today? Who are you going to speak to? Who are you going to encourage? What's going to happen? Having some more, what is it? Let's have some more, what is it today? Already we've had some wonderful, what is it? We've had some wonderful worship together. We've had some wonderful encouragement. I'm really way off my notes, but that's okay. We've got 3 hours, as was said. So God is patient. When we talk about perseverance, it's not just us persevering. God is patient with us. In 2 Peter 3:9, I haven't got that scripture, it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He is patient with us. I'm so grateful because I've blown it a few times, and sometimes, you know, we read that scripture about how often does God forgive, 7 times or 70 times 7, and you know, God can count, but he's so patient, and he doesn't get to, okay, what's 70 times 7, 490? He gets to 489, Darryl, you got one more chance. No, he's cast our sin as far as the east is from the west. So he's not keeping count of how many times he forgave us about something, but he'll forgive again and again. He's patient. He perseveres. And so he calls us at the same time to have that same aspect of the character of God, to persevere in trials, to persevere when we feel like we want to give up. You know, keep going, because as God's character is patient, he wants us to be patient. In 1 Timothy 1:16, it says, for that very reason I have shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example to those who would believe in him. So the Apostle Paul, when writing to Timothy, says, God's had unlimited patience with me, the worst of sinners. So through that, it shows his patience to other people as well. So God is a God of patience. But we live in a world where we're not so patient. And so we want instant. We live in a microwave society. You know, it used to be, you know, years ago, people would go out, cut the wood and make a fire and put it in the stove and cook the meals and everything. And it took a long time. These days, well, we just get the microwave, push the button, 30 seconds or a minute or something, there it is. Or we want a tan, so we spray it on. It's spray on tan. That's pretty cool. And so, you know, we want instant, now we want instant porridge, when it used to be go and get and grind the wheat and make the porridge like that. Well, now we have instant porridge or instant pudding, where you just get this little sachet and you put milk to it, and you know, before long you've got instant this or instant that, instant pudding. And sometimes Christians, we then want instant spirituality. Well, just give it to me now. I want God to answer my prayer now. And thank God, many times he does answer our prayers instantaneously. I was in Copenhagen a few weeks ago. This lady came out. We had a great altar call in a church in Copenhagen. This lady came out in agony and holding her shoulder. I said, do you need healing for prayer? Prayer for healing. She goes, yeah. So I prayed, lifted up her hands and prayed, and instantly she was healed. And she came up, I've had an instant healing. All the pain's gone, it's gone. And we want that. And thank God, God gives us instant healings. And sometimes he heals over a period of time, sometimes through medical science that he's given. God is still the source of healing in that. And so we want those things, but sometimes we need perseverance where we don't get our prayers answered. Or sometimes God says no, because he knows a better way. When we're asking for this and God says, no, I have something better for you, so I'm not giving you what you want there. And we're like, but God, I want it. Like a child doing a tantrum. And God says, no, you need perseverance. You need to trust me. You need to realize that I have a better way for you. And I could tell you hundreds of stories where God hasn't answered my prayer instantly. And I'm so grateful now as I look back, because he had something better. But we oftentimes don't have perseverance. We don't have patience. We sort of, God, I want this spray on, you know, spirituality. I want it now. And God says, no, you need to persevere, as the scripture says. So perseverance is the process to progress as we grow. So do not throw away your confidence. You need to persevere, as it says there in verse 36. So when you've done the will of God, you'll receive what is promised. It's a process to progress. And so to grow means, if we want to grow, we've got to position ourselves to grow. We've got to read the word of God. We've got to do the things that God's called us to do, step by step, little by little. And, you know, it's by perseverance that the snail got into the ark. Perseverance, you know, they all went on the ark. We've got snails today, so they must have, some two snails got very patient and persevered till they got onto the ark, and then they could reproduce lots of other snails, you know. And when I go to my letterbox, and when we're in Waiala, that place you mentioned before, when I was in Waiala, every now and then I'd get my mail, but snails had already been eating into the envelopes. And I have to say to the snails, it's not lettuce, it's letters. You can't eat the letters. You think it's lettuce. And so sometimes by perseverance, a snail entered the ark. And so we've got to persevere. We've got to be patient in that. A person named Carlisle Boehm said, everyone should have a goal which he is willing to exchange a piece of his life, which is perseverance. Things don't just happen. Robert Schuller said, if it's going to be, it's up to me. And so I need to persevere. I need to position myself for the things of God. Genius, the power that dazzles eyes, and oftentimes we think, how awesome are these people? It's often just perseverance in disguise. And so we sort of think, and if you follow the AFL and you see these great footballers, you know, they've been persevering, they've been training during the week, they've been working in the gym, they've been making sure they don't eat what they shouldn't eat and having the right diet and right sleeping patterns. And the same with the Olympians, listening to some of them, now aiming towards the next lot of Olympics in 4 years, which I think is in LA or somewhere in the States. And they said, we're going to have about a month off and then we get back into our program where everything is geared towards getting a gold medal in 4 years' time. And so how they sleep, how they eat, what they do, everything is geared towards that one goal, perseverance. I'd like to be an Olympian, but I don't want to do all the work involved with that. I'd just like to get the gold medal, you know? And in a sense, have everyone fall over and I just walk across the line. All the guys that have trained and persevered, no, get out of the way, guys. I deserve that gold medal. No, we've got to persevere in the same sense what we've got to do. And so in a sense, that success that dazzles people is often perseverance in disguise. It's you know, we hear of Sir Winston Churchill, his speech, when he was speaking at a university, they said, come and speak at university to inspire the university students, and his words were, never give up. Never, never, never give up. Never give up. And he goes on, is in anything great or small, large or petty, never give in to those things except to the convictions of honour and good sense. And so it's about perseverance. So don't throw away your confidence. Don't throw away your faith. You need to persevere. Secondly, the will of God is the progress to the promises of God. And so you need to persevere. So when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Sometimes, you know, we can think, God, I want to do your will. And we see it as something way out there. But the will of God is today. And so the will of God is reading the word, it's obeying the word, it's doing the things that we need to do today, persevering with the things, being patient at times, just doing the right thing today, which will grow into tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And we're doing the will of God rather than, God, I don't want to miss your will. No, today is your will. Some people think the will of God is geographical. Well, God, where's your will? Is it, I need to go to China as a missionary or to Africa, or I need to do this? And God says, no, it's not geographical, it's in your heart. What's your attitude today? What's your heart? Are you forgiving? And sometimes we've got to persevere with forgiveness because some people can really hurt us. Has anyone ever been hurt by somebody? One or two? And let me ask, has anyone been hurt by a Christian? One or two or three or four. And they're not real Christians, because if they wouldn't hurt us if they're real Christians. But the reality of it is we do get hurt by people. And the reality of it is we do need to forgive, but we've got to persevere in that, because sometimes you think, yep, I've forgiven them, I've released them, and then the thought of their name or a thought comes in, and all of a sudden you're thinking, get them, God. Or when I see that person, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind, you know. Well, we don't want to give them a piece of our mind, because sometimes parts of our mind needs to be renewed. And I had a friend up in Queensland, and he had a brain tumour, and he was struggling a little bit after having the operation. He says, this is what happens when you give the doctor a piece of your mind. But anyway, we've got to be careful. We've got to persevere in forgiveness. We've got to persevere in the will and the purposes of God. And so in 1 Timothy 4:16, it says, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And so Paul was saying to Timothy, You know, you'll save yourself if you persevere in the teachings of Christ. In your doctrine was basically the teachings of the Word of God. And so persevere in those things. The will of God is not always an easy road. And so in Hebrews 11, the next chapter, by faith, Moses, when he'd grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead for his reward. And so, in a sense, Moses, he was adopted as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, found in the Nile River, floating in a basket, as his mum put in there, because of so on. And all of a sudden, he grows up in the king's house, but he says, no, I've got to be true to myself. I've got to be true to what I'm called to do. And so as a result of that, he suffered as a result of that. Sometimes doing the will of God means that not everyone is on your side with that. Sometimes you've got to make choices, and they can't be choices out of a sense of sentimentality, but they've got to be out of conviction. Sometimes you've got to make choices and think, well, this person's not going to like this, but I've got to be true to my convictions. I've got to follow what Jesus is telling me to do and the Word of God. And so, whoops, nearly tripped over. And so as a result of that, it's not always easy, but it's always good. It's always wonderful when you're living in the will of God, that sense of peace, I've done the right thing, doing the will of God. I'm racing through this because I've got a lot more notes. The will of God means that people at times will oppose you. And all the way back to when God first called me to ministry, and then we had to move out of Melbourne, take our diseases into New South Wales, to Katoomba, and spread the disease in Katoomba for 3 years, and leaving work and leaving the family and things like that. And we were only just newly married and people didn't fully understand it, but we had to follow what God had called us to do. And so when we came to South Australia from Victoria again, bringing our diseases in 1999, My mum cried and she said, you can't do that, because we'd gone back to Victoria. We were pastoring and God said, you know, want you to go to South Australia? And some of my Victorian mindset's coming out. I've got to rebuke that. And so, but coming to South Australia, and my mum was upset. Well, you can't do that. Well, we've got to do what God's called us to do. And so we did that. And you know, mum eventually understood that. But some people get upset. Some people want to oppose what God puts on your heart from time to time. You've still got to do what God calls you to do. You can't be led by sentiment. You've got to be led by conviction. And doing the will of God, when you know God's called you to do something, you've got to do it. I remember selling a car, and this guy then on the paperwork, you then put how much you sold it for, and then they'd have to pay the stamp duty. And so the guy that was buying my car, this was in Victoria, he was a Victorian, so you can understand why I'd be dishonored. But he's sort of saying, well, just write, you sold it for $500. Well, we sold it for $2,500. I said, no, I sold it to you for this. No, just write, because I'm going to have to pay stamp duty. And I said, yeah, that's what you do. That's the law. That's what you got to do. Oh, I can't do that. No, just write. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll pay the stamp duty, we'll put it down and I'll pay the money, which wasn't a huge amount anyway. But he was like, oh, you're crazy, mate. What are you doing that for? Because of my integrity, because I have to answer before God. People don't always understand those things and sometimes oppose those things, but we've got to do what God has called us to do. Hold to our integrity in those things. The will of God involves paying a price at times where, you know, it's going to cost you something to do the will of God. It's not always easy, but it's always good, but there's a price to pay in following the will of God as well. And so Jesus says in Luke 14:27, if anyone wants to carry his cross and follow me, have I got number two? Yeah. Follow me, he cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower, will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? In other words, Jesus saying, you want to do the will of God, realize it will cost you something. And it will cost you time. It will at times cost you finances. Just this week in our church, we've had a building fund and committed so much towards that every month. We've just got back from speaking at a conference overseas, and I realized, oh God, I haven't paid my monthly commitment to that. Then I looked at my bank balance and thought, I don't know if I want to. This is going to pull my balance down. And God says, hey, you're committed. Pay your price. It's far as the will of God is concerned. And there's always something when God leads, but he also provides. Where God guides, he provides. And so when we do those things, God's not going to leave you sort of wanting. He's going to continue to provide your needs. When we're overseas, I was speaking in France at an academic conference down at a place called Bordeaux on Pentecostal identity at the National Bible College there. And before we got there, we were in Paris and someone pickpocketed me, which was nice of them. Yeah, take my euros, take my credit cards, take my license, take my Medicare card, everything that was in that wallet that we don't realize we take for granted, gone. And the most important thing were photos that when we were going out together, that I'll never get those. And we don't look like that anymore. And you know, we're a little bit older than we used to be. But the reality, they're gone now. And so it was like, and within half an hour, the guy was using my credit cards, you know, tapping them and spending. And so I had to block them, which then, you know, it's a nuisance. However, God provides. And we don't have to stress over that. God bless that person. They can't use my credit cards anymore. They're all blocked. I've had to get them all renewed and get a new license and all of that sort of stuff. Having come back, some of those things are still on their way in the mail somewhere. But, you know, in terms of things like that, we still trust God. Am I going to get bitter and twisted by that? Am I going to blow France up? No. I'm just going to say, well, God, bless that person. And Elan said, well, they were spending money buying food on our credit cards. Elan said, well, bless them. They were obviously hungry, needed some food, tried to draw money out of my accounts. Well, they didn't get away with it, so that was good. But, you know, stuff happens like that, but we've got to persevere in the will of God. William Wilberforce, who pushed Britain's parliament to abolish slavery back in the 1800s, was discouraged. He was about to give up. His elderly friend, a man by the name of John Wesley, heard of it, and from his deathbed, John Wesley called for a pen and paper. With trembling hands, as his quiet age, Wesley wrote, "Unless God has raised you up for this very thing, you will be worn out by the opposition of men and devils. But if God be for you, who can be against you? All of them are all of them stronger than God. Oh, be not weary of well-doing," Wesley said. "Go on in the name of God and in the power of his might till even American slavery shall vanish away before it." Wesley died 6 days after writing that, but Wilberforce fought for another 45 more years, and in 1833, 3 days before his own death, saw slavery abolished in Britain. 30 years later, in the 1860s, slavery was abolished in the United States. He felt like giving up, but he persevered. John Wesley said, don't give up, keep persevering. If God's called you to do it, keep persevering. And he heard of the victory that he had 3 days before he went to heaven in Jesus' name. And so one person said, paralyze resistance with persistence. So when there's resistance, paralyze it by persevering to get over it. When I started doing my doctorate, because I'm a tradie, I left school at the age of 16 and did an apprenticeship, and you know, in terms of that, then went to Bible college and so on, and I wouldn't say I'm the smartest person in the world. When I was doing my doctorate, because God spoke to me about that, I'd done a master's degree like Pastor Adriano has done, and then God said, I want you to do a doctorate because one day you'll be teaching at Bible college and so on. It's like, okay, I'll give it a go. Well, one of my professors, one of the guys, said to me, Daryl, you don't have what it takes. You keep writing like you preach, and you can't write like you preach because you've got to write academically. And I'm like, I don't know how to write academically. Well, you might as well give up. You're not a critical thinker and stuff. And I said, well, I haven't started this to get another master's degree. He said, just take what you've done and get another master's degree. I haven't started. God told me to do a doctorate, so I've got to complete it. Even though this guy, much more intelligent than me, is telling me to give up. So I had to persist. I had to persevere. I had to push through, which eventually I did and passed by the grace of God. I don't know how I did it because, as I said, it was persistence. It wasn't smarty, you know, it wasn't intelligence. It was just keep going, keep learning, keep pushing through. Eventually you'll get there. And we've got to persist for the will of God and to fulfill the will of God. And so in Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So we've got to persevere in terms of those things. God's promise is also the prize. So after you've done the will of God, you know what the will of God is. You've been obedient to God. You as I said, it's a daily thing. Persevering, doing the will of God. After you've done the will of God, you will receive the promises. I was sort of saying, well, what's a promise? The promise of God in this sense, and we see it a little bit later in verse 39, where it says, we're not those who hold back or shrink back, but those who persevere and receive the promise and are saved. And so the promise that the writer to the Hebrews is saying is the promise is salvation. And not everybody will be saved. If you read the scriptures, some people, it speaks about the dog returning to his vomit because people give up too early or people turn their back on God and stuff. But those people that persevere, doing the will of God, knowing the will of God, daily, you know, at times when you blow it, getting God's forgiveness again and getting up and going from strength to strength. The Bible says the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he will not be cast down, for the Lord upholds him. And it's like having been a father and now a grandfather, when the little kids are starting to walk and they've got their big nappy and you say, come on. And they take a step and boom, back on their nappy. And so, come on, you can do it, get up again. So they take a few more steps and eventually they step and they're walking and they're not falling over anymore because they're developing strength through perseverance and through encouragement. And God's like that with us. There are times when we fall, when we start out, we take a step and God says, yeah, you took a step. And then you take it, yay, you took another step, yay. And then we fall on our nappies. And God doesn't say, well, you loser, stay down there, you're never going to walk. God says, though he fall, he will not be cast down, for the Lord upholds him. Get up again, take another step, and another step, and another step. And even as we grow in God, there's times when we still fall. But God doesn't say, loser, loser. He says, no, come on, you can do it. Get up again, go again. You can do that. In the same sense of doing the will and the purpose of God, the ultimate salvation, the ultimate promise is salvation. And God is going to be cheering us on in salvation. Well, we are saved. Every day we're saved and we renew that relationship with Jesus, and ultimately when we face Jesus, there's this great prize, this great promise of salvation for our lives. That's the prize in Jesus' name. But in the on the way to that, there's a whole lot of other things that God has in store for us as we just keep following the things of God in Jesus' name. Oscar Hammerstein wrote a song called Climb Every Mountain. Anyone ever seen The Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Music? And in that song, the lady sings, do you want me to sing it for you? No. Climb every mountain, ford every stream, follow every rainbow till you find your dream. And in the sense of Christians, keep climbing every mountain, ford every stream. God has a purpose for you, and your dream is salvation, is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Better look at my watch. What's the time, Mr.? 25 to what? Oh, I've still got 2 hours. Okay. So, hello. Oh, I've got more battery in this, so that's good. Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he's promised. As we see there, Hebrews 10:39, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who believe and are saved. As we persevere and doing God's will leads us to the attainment of God's promise. And so let me challenge you, persevere. There's a time when you feel like giving up. There's a time as Christians, there's times when we get hurt. There's times when we get disillusioned and we just think, God, I don't want this anymore. But God says, persevere. Keep going. And after you've done the will of God, you keep following the purposes of God, you receive what has been promised. And so the prayer I have down there that we should be praying, God, help me to be patient when doing your will. Sometimes we want it today. We want the spray on, instant spirituality. Sometimes we've got to be patient when doing the will of God. Sometimes we're praying for people to get saved and it doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it can take weeks and months and years. Keep praying, keep believing, because God is hearing your prayer. Help me not to shrink back, but continue to press on in faith. Not to, all right, I'm just going to exist. No, keep pressing on in the things of God. Help me not to quit when everything is telling me to give up. Help me not to lose sight of your promises, the very salvation of my soul. That's what really matters, doesn't it? At the end of everything else, when we go to be with Jesus, if he comes back, we'll go to be with him. Or if we die, we'll go to be with him. We can't take any material things with us. It's just us and God in the end. And so in that sense, it's sort of like, well, God, let me value what you value and not get distracted by the things that don't matter so much. I was praying the other day and thinking about, you know, when Jesus turned the tables over in the temple and used to think, well, he was just upset they were making money. It was more than that. These tables are taking space in the temple that should have been allocated to people just coming to worship God. And so sometimes in our lives, there may not be selling things in the temple. It may be in us, we're allowing other things to take place in our lives that should be dedicated to God. I love sport, but sometimes I get convicted that, hey, Daryl, it doesn't matter. You're watching that footy game when you should be doing something else. And ultimately, they're going to win or lose without you watching it. And so sometimes I feel the Holy Spirit say, go and pray. Go and read the Word of God. Go and do what I've called you to do in those things. Because sometimes they can be like the tables in the temple that are taking up space that should be dedicated to God.
And so in our own lives at times, we've got to keep searching our heart. And as a Christian in my life, you know, God doesn't stop working with us. It's day to day. The other day, I was wrestling with some things in prayer during the night that I felt God speaking to me about. And it's sort of like, God, do you want this? God, I'm 63 now. I've given you 40-odd years of service, surely. No, I want you to keep doing my will till you stop breathing, till you're in heaven. Then you'll be doing my will in heaven, worshiping me, and so on. And so it's a daily relationship with God, renewing daily, persevering in God, dealing with our attitudes sometimes in the things of God. Let's stand together right now. Hallelujah. Let these be your prayers. And I realize time's gone and we need to keep moving on, but right where you are, my encouragement to people from new Christians to long-term Christians, keep persevering. Keep believing for the promise of God. Keep doing the will of God. It's not always easy, but it's always good. Keep persevering. Keep patient because God is patient with you. And so he wants us to persevere, to not give up, to not think it's too hard, but say, God, and I'm not going to drift. I don't want to just drift as a Christian. Lord, I want to be anchored to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Not drifting away and thinking everything's okay. God, help me to be anchored and persevere in the things of God. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I just want to pray for people that perhaps you feel you need to make a fresh commitment to perseverance today. You've allowed yourself to drift a little bit and you're not exactly satisfied with where you're at spiritually. Just lift up your hand right now. I want to pray for you that God will give you the strength to persevere at this point in your life right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, you see the hands raised. And Lord God, you see the hearts that are, Lord, raised to you and say, Lord, give me the strength to persevere. At times, I find it hard. At times, I want to give up. At times, I just want to drift. And yet, God, I know that you have more for me than just drifting. And so, Lord, I just ask for your strength. As we sang all the way through, it's not our might, but it's you, Lord God, by your Spirit, Lord, that leads us from strength to strength. As Elaine's word, we all, every one of us, need you every day. And so, God, strengthen us today to persevere, Lord God, to wake up tomorrow for a new what is it, Lord, what do I go and take hold of to nourish my soul, to nourish my spirit, so I can continue to grow in you. And so we just thank you for that. In your wonderful name. What a gracious God. What a wonderful Lord. And I thank you for this awesome church and what you're doing here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you for that, Pastor Darrell. We spoke when he told me what I've been speaking on. I said, oh, we've been speaking on resilience. This is, you told me you're. It's,